It's time for this week's Nebraska Wheat Report, brought to you by the Nebraska Wheat Board. I am Shaylee Peters, and this week we get to visit with Jill O'Donnell. She's the director of the Clayton Yeider Institute, and we're going to be talking about a couple of different things, certainly trade this week. Jill, let's first start off with a very timely topic, USMCA. Just give us an update, first of all, on where we're at with that. Kind of at a critical point.
Sure. So USMCA, US-Mexico-Canada Agreement, must be ratified by all three countries in the pact in order for it to take effect. Mexico has done that. The Mexican Senate ratified that back in June. Canada has not yet done so. There was just an election in Canada, and so the legislation that Canada needs to consider to ratify USMCA has to be reintroduced in their parliamentary system. And then in the U.S., that agreement is still pending in the U.S. Congress. It's not totally clear yet when that will be brought up for a vote. That's up to the Speaker of the House. Any trade agreement bill or any revenue-impacting bill has to originate in the House, so that's why this is really in the hands of Speaker Nancy Pelosi. There is a working group of 9 Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives that's negotiating directly with the U.S. Trade Representative's Office and Ambassador Lighthizer to iron out some of their concerns with that agreement. And that work has been ongoing throughout the fall. It's still ongoing. So as soon as they can get to an agreement with the U.S. Trade Representative's Office on those concerns that they have, then it will pave the way for this agreement to come up for a vote in the House.
I also wanted to ask about, as far as USMCA is concerned, I did mention we're kind of at a critical point with this. We'll find out very soon whether or not it's going to move forward or get passed. And so I wanted you to take a look at what happens if it does get passed and what happens if it doesn't. What are those scenarios look like?
Sure. So NAFTA still is in effect, the North American Free Trade Agreement. So we do have that. If the USMCA is passed, then it will, I believe, create a level of certainty and stability that's important for agricultural producers, for businesses, because we will have a new and modernized agreement in place between these three countries that are really highly integrated economically at this point in time. If it's not passed, in this calendar year or in the working days that the Congress has left in this calendar year, then I think there is a higher level of uncertainty if we go into the next calendar year, which of course is an election year in the United States. And I think the more time that passes, the prospects become a little bit dimmer for passage of that legislation that would implement the USMCA in the Congress.
So keeping with the theme of trade, but shifting gears just a little bit, amidst all of this uncertainty in our trade environment, let's talk emerging markets, because these are important, and there are some that are starting to come to the front that maybe we haven't heard of or talked about.
Sure. So I think one thing that's important to keep in mind is that, there are organizations such as various commodity organizations that your listeners are probably pretty familiar with that have as one of their important goals is seeking new markets overseas for U.S. agricultural products. That's always an important part of the process, is looking to build new relationships and educate potential buyers about U.S. products overseas. So that's an ongoing mission. A few places around the globe that hold potential for U.S. and Nebraska agricultural products are, for example, Vietnam, where Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts just returned earlier this fall from a trade mission there. That's a really important and dynamic and growing market. 97 million people, half of them are under 30, GDP growth rates of over 6% pretty consistently the last few years. So that's a dynamic place. Exports of Nebraska beef, for example, have gone up there quite a lot over the last couple of years. So that is one important market that a lot of folks are looking at. Indonesia is another one. There was a small delegation that was hosted here in Nebraska earlier this year. From Indonesia. There is a little bit of Nebraska wheat that already goes there. And that's, again, a really growing and dynamic and young market where more and more people are entering the middle class and will be demanding better diets. There's actually a paper on the Yeider Institute website exploring Indonesia as a potential market for Nebraska exports, written by one of our students, for anyone interested in reading that. The European Union in Africa as a place potentially for more soybeans is another one. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is projecting increased agriculture exports to Egypt, for example, and the EU going forward. So there's a lot of places to look around the globe.
Thank you so much. Again, our guest, Jill O'Donnell. She is the director of the Clayton Yeider Institute with this week's Nebraska Wheat Report, brought to you by the Nebraska Wheat Board. I'm Shaylee Peters.